by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow had a son who fought in the Union Army during the American Civil War. After months, his son was seriously wounded. News of his son's wound came to the father on Christmas Eve, and he, being a poet, sat down and he expressed all of his anguish in song. He wrote the words that we know as the words to "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." One of the verses would describe his mood on that very bleak Christmas morning. And it says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." You see, the angels who appeared before the shepherds, they sang peace on earth, goodwill to men. In the New Testament, we come across some individuals who also sang. One of them is Zechariah. The other one is Simeon. And I want you to turn at this time, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 1. Page numbers are up there if you're using a pew Bible. I'll give you just a second to get there. Now, Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. It says his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." I want you to turn your page just one time, and beginning with verse 25 of chapter 2, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel.'" We find here in our text, the first text that we read, speaking of John the Baptist, it said that he will guide our feet into the path of peace. And then, after Christ was born, we see Simeon speaking again, and he says, "Now that I have seen Jesus, let your servant depart in peace." The scriptures speak of Christ as the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace to our lives. And today, rather appropriately, I want to talk about how Jesus brings peace into our day-to-day lives. I would invite you to take your outline today and follow along as we look at three truths that explain to us how Jesus makes it possible to have peace. And truth number one says, Jesus makes it possible to have peace with God. If I were to ask you about factions and divisions, you could talk about houses that are divided, countries that are divided. You could talk about a lot of things. But probably the one that would not come to your mind first is the division that is universal among all of mankind. And that is that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are separated from God for all of eternity. Jesus makes it possible for that division to be restored. He makes it possible for that broken relationship with God to be reconciled, to be brought back together. Jesus makes it possible to have peace between God and man. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 13, says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." The Bible tells us very clearly that before we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are separated from him. Contrary to many views that people have of God, they kind of view him sometimes as this granddaddy with a big lap that just, you know, loves everybody and everything is just A-okay. God is a God who is completely holy, perfectly sinless, perfectly righteous. And God and sin do not coexist. And so it is important for us to understand that we are separated from God. Now, we come up with all kinds of ways. Mankind has come up with many ways to try to take care of that separation. Sometimes people will believe that if they get some water sprinkled on their forehead when they're infants, or if they go through a certain amount of classes and learn to memorize a certain amount of things, that automatically breaks through the barrier and they are acceptable in God's sight. There's not a shred of evidence of that in the scriptures. Sometimes people will say, you know, well, if I go to church and I get a whole banner full of perfect attendance pins, God will be pleased. And apart from the fact that I still have the issue of sin, God will look at those banners and he'll say, well, you know, hey, it's okay, I can let it slide. But God is a holy God, and God doesn't let it slide. Sometimes we have all kinds of thoughts as to how we can earn God's favor, how we can take away our sin. And the reality is, there is no way that we ourselves can deal with our sin. We can't reach up to God to take care of it. We can't get good enough that we can get there on ourselves. And the reality is that God had to reach down to us. And that's exactly what he did. Scriptures tell us in Galatians 4:4, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons. God reached down to us. God sent his only son to a cross. When Jesus died on that cross, God accepted his death as a full payment for the sins of mankind. But my friends, that does not mean that every person is automatically forgiven and going to heaven. Scripture does not teach that either. Scriptures teach us that the one who believes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts him for forgiveness of sin is granted forgiveness and granted eternal life as a free gift of God's grace. It is not earned. It is a free gift that is obtained by faith. A right relationship with God can be ours and ours only because God reached down to us. Gordon MacDonald tells a story about a Nigerian woman who was a physician, and she was in a teaching hospital in the United States. And one day she would introduce herself all the time by her American name. And one day MacDonald said to her, could you tell me your African name? And he writes that she rattled off a whole bunch of syllables that kind of had a melodic sound to them. And he said, okay, but what does it mean? And she said, it means that I am the child who takes away the anger. And she went on to explain that she and her parents, when they were very young, they were not approved. Their marriage was not approved. Their parents did not, neither of their parents wanted them to be together. And so the family was separated. The family was divided. They were ostracized from both sets of parents. And she said, when my mother became pregnant with me, when my grandparents held me in their arms for the very first time, the walls of hostility came down. She said, I am the one who swept the anger away. And MacDonald concluded in his book, it occurred to me that her name would be a suitable name for Jesus. Because when Jesus came, he was the child who would take away the anger between God and mankind. God bringing the two together. Jesus makes it possible for us to have peace with God. And my friend, only Jesus. Truth number two. I need to tell you, I did this earlier today. Subject matter on these truths gets a little thicker and a little deeper as we move on. Jesus makes it possible to have peace with circumstances. Some of you are looking at me say, oh, please tell me how. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Nope. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say this again so you get it. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends, that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, the key to dealing with circumstances, especially those that are beyond your control, is to present everything by prayer and petition to God. To come and give it to Him. To commit our troubles to God and trust Him. You know, it's very easy to find ourselves in situations that we didn't see them coming. They take us by surprise. You get a tummy ache. You go to the doctor and they give you a diagnosis that something is radically wrong, sometimes even terminal. You go to a job. You've worked there for years. Your boss pats you on the back every day, says, good job, good job. And then you go to work one day to find out that the place is closing. That pension that you were hoping for, it's not going to be there. That job is going to be over in 2 weeks, and you're left out there somewhere. People lose loved ones. Sometimes they can expect it, and sometimes it's so sudden. Sometimes there's absolutely no warning. What do you do? How do you deal with it? Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances, people will hurt us, people will offend us, and we can't even imagine that that was going to happen. Circumstances take us by surprise. Let me say that again. Circumstances take us by surprise. But I want you to assure you of one thing. There is no circumstance that has ever or will ever occur in your life that will take God by surprise. Whatever is going on in your world right now, I can assure you that God is not up in heaven throwing up his hands and saying, what do I do now? Not at all. God is not surprised. He is not pacing around. And my friends, we can trust him. We can trust him with each and every circumstance. When we experience difficulties, we can give them to him and rest in his promises. And he promises to give us peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, this is Jesus talking, and he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And I do not give you as the peace as the world gives. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. I have to ask you, are you going through some difficult waters? Are you experiencing challenges and trials? That speaks for almost all of us. God gives us peace beyond all human understanding. We can't figure it out. We don't understand. But God promises to give us peace. Not the kind of peace that the world gives, but his peace, his supernatural peace. I shared this illustration in a sermon before. If you heard it before, you'll enjoy it anyway, because it nails the point. There was a king, and that king was offering a prize to any artist in his kingdom who would paint the best picture of peace. There were only two artists that actually submitted a finished painting. One of those artists painted a picture of a very calm lake. There was not even a breeze. That lake was just mirror smooth. And on that lake, you could see the reflection of a few white puffy clouds, and everything was calm and everything was serene. When you looked at that painting, it just made you feel peaceful. The other artist drew a picture of this jagged mountain. And there were dark thunderclouds and there were lightning bolts in the sky. And there was raging water that was just pouring off the edge of that mountain and falling many feet. And it just looked violent when one looked at it. But when the king looked a little closer, behind that raging waterfall, there in among that jagged mountain with dark clouds and lightning bolts and all of that, there behind that raging water was a little nest with a mother bird and three little baby birds. When the king looked and he saw that mother bird in that setting of peace, in spite of the raging water, in spite of the violent storm, that was the artist who received the prize. And my friends, when we receive Christ's peace in circumstances, doesn't mean the storm's not there. It doesn't mean the problem is gone. It doesn't mean everything is fixed. God's peace, the peace that is unlike the peace that we receive from the world, is a peace that passes all human understanding. And it's a peace that we can experience in those stormy circumstances of life, if we will just lean Jesus and allow him to minister to us. Jesus makes it possible to have peace in all circumstances. Truth number three. Jesus makes it possible to have peace with one another. How does Jesus make it possible to have peace with one another? It's my job to explain this. I believe that I can prove to you that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to live peaceably with all men, meaning all of mankind, everybody, even the tough ones. God wants us to live in peace with one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with the people that are easy to get along with. He wouldn't even have to tell us if that was the case. You know how some of the names of God are translated from the original language to the English text with all capitals, L-O-R-D. You see that in your scriptures? I believe that whatever word was used to say everyone should have probably been translated into the English language in all capitals. That's a tall order. That's a tough one. And I know some of you are saying, wait a minute, how can I live in peace with everyone? There must be some exceptions. You don't know what that person did. You don't know how they have offended me. You don't know how they have hurt me. You don't know how they have hurt someone I care about. How can I be peaceable? What's our response? What's our natural response? Get even. Bethany's not here. I'm going to talk about her. Isn't that great? I had four kids. They were all little. They were living, you know, living with me, single dad. She was the youngest. And what do older brothers and sisters do? They pick on the younger one all the time. How many of you were the baby? Am I telling the truth? Absolutely. Bethany coined a phrase, 10 times harder. You hurt me, I'll hurt you 10 times harder. As an adult, sometimes she laughs, she says 10 times harder. You know, she doesn't mean it, at least I hope so. But she'll coin that phrase. But really, that's how we all feel. You hurt me, I'm gonna hurt you back. I'm gonna make you hurt more than you hurt me. That's who we are. That's our nature. But that is not what we are supposed to do. That is not what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to live in peace with everyone, and we're to do it as far as it depends on us. Now, there's a little bit to learn there, because sometimes no matter how hard we try to be at peace with somebody, they don't reciprocate in any way. It's a dead-end street. But we're responsible for our own heart. Listen to some words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. He says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way you will be acting as true children of your heavenly Father in heaven." Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27, says, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. And if someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also." That is not, my friends, our natural tendency. It's not my natural tendency, and I doubt that it's yours either. So the question remains, how can Jesus bring peace with one another? And I believe the answer to that is found as in who's in control. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that gives us supernatural peace that's beyond all human understanding in our circumstances, is the same Spirit that allows us to carry out these verses and living in peace with everyone, including those who don't deserve it. Bear with the length of this scripture. I'm going to try to read slowly so it sinks in. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living like that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. My friends, when our sinful nature desires to get even, when our sinful nature desires to stomp harder on those that stomp on us, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. And the Spirit of God can supernaturally give us the ability to live at peace with one another. So when somebody sins against us, when somebody offends us, we need to come before the Spirit of God and ask for His peace. Now we said, it's as far as it depends on you. I know countless situations where people have done horrid things to others and have never owned up to it. They have never recognized that or admitted what they did. And so, like, what do you do in those situations? The bottom line is, in order for us to experience peace, we need to forgive. This past semester, or the one that we're in just about ending, my wife taught a study on forgiveness. And I don't know that anybody went into that class, including my wife, expecting that individual lives would actually be moved to forgive somebody. People who were abused, taken advantage of, who were gripped by the tragic events in their lives. Two individuals in that class of five, by the end of those weeks, chose to forgive somebody who they had been harboring issues with for years, and justifiably perhaps, chose to forgive them in spite of the fact that neither of those situations did that person ever admit what they did wrong. You know, things haven't changed since the garden. When we sin, when we do things that we should not do, we're just like Adam and Eve. We hide. We try to hide from God. We try to cover our sin. They tried to cover their nakedness. That's the way we are. That's who we are. That's the root of who we are. And many times, the offender never says, "I'm sorry." That's why grief is sometimes so difficult. I lead grief ministry, and that's why grief is so difficult. Because when the offender dies, there's an end to that hope of reconciliation. And that's why it's so, so important that as far as it depends on me, as far as it depends on you, we choose to release that person. Do they deserve it? Probably not. When God released you from the penalty of your sin, did you deserve it? And the answer is, most definitely not. And so we find ourselves, if we are going to live at peace with everyone, we need to have Jesus' supernatural peace, the peace that passes all human understanding, the peace that says, "I can forgive you even when you will not even acknowledge your sin." God wants us to live at peace with everyone. And you know that relationship that we have with everyone? affects our own relationship with Him. It really does. It puts a hindrance on it. It's what it does for us. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. God wants us to be at peace with one another so much that He teaches us that we need to be reconciled with one another. So when someone hurts us, when someone offends us, when someone sins against us and won't even admit it, won't even say, okay, this is what I did, I'm sorry, seek forgiveness, what do you do? I already told you to depend on the Holy Spirit. The other part is this. We already read Romans 12, 18. Here's verse 19. And verse 19 says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that righteous anger. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. That doesn't mean we sit around saying, oh, God's going to get you for that. That's not it at all. But what it means is we can let go of it and allow God to deal with it. And ultimately, God will deal with every one of us. There is another verse to that song that I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and this is what it says. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. God is not asleep. God is not pacing around heaven saying, oh God, what do I do now? Okay? He gives us the supernatural ability to live in peace with everyone. He gives us the ability to let go of the offense even when the offense is not even admitted. And we can ultimately trust Jesus, who will balance the scales with justice and righteousness and mercy. My friends, Jesus and only Jesus makes it possible for us to experience peace. He is the only way to find peace with God. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, right now there is a dividing wall between you and God. You can't push through it. You can't jump over it. There's no way through. The only way is to trust Christ as your Savior. And then that division is removed. You might find yourself today in difficult circumstances. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a wayward child. The list can go on and on. The reality is that Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, He is able to give us peace even in those circumstances. Supernatural peace, like that mother bird sitting in that nest with a raging waterfall pouring down in front of her, experiencing peace in the midst of storms, in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties. And my friends, it is only through Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, that we can live in peace with everyone. Only by His supernatural power, only by His supernatural strength can we forgive offenses. Only by His power, only by His strength can we allow His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. And so I conclude by asking you a question, and that is, are you experiencing the peace of Christmas? I don't know about you, I could use a bucket load of that peace. A bucket load. And it's available. And I praise God for that. And then, which relationship or situation do you most need to experience the peace of Christmas? And I want to tell you, my friend, that when you come to God and you ask Him to show you His peace, to give you what you need, He is eager to provide. He is eager to guard your heart and mind with peace that passes every circumstance, every situation. And I'm grateful today that we can come before Him. I want to conclude our service today with a time of prayer. Some of you, I might have just ripped up a Band-Aid. I've exposed the wound. Some of you are already wounded. You don't even have a scab. I want to give you some time to think about the words of God that were shared today. I want you to seek God and just ask Him to help you, to help you in any one of these ways that we've discussed. So take a few moments and pray. Pray silently, and after I give you sufficient time, then I'll close, okay? Our Father, in the midst of gloom, You promised a child, a Savior, the Prince of Peace. They were dark days for the Israelites as they waited for that promised one. And Lord, wherever people might be at today, for those who are experiencing dark days, I would ask that the peace of Christ, the peace of Christmas, would be poured into their hearts and into their lives. Father, that You would bring peace to those who are far off from You, and would draw them to Yourself. That You would bring peace to our circumstances. That You would just give peace that is beyond our understanding. That You would bring peace to our relationships. And allow us to see Your supernatural power. Father, we're thankful for Your word today. We're thankful for its truth. In some ways, it might be difficult even to swallow or to digest. And yet, Lord, we would say You are right. We would admit our need. We would admit our dependence upon You. And so we would invite You to pour out Your Spirit. And we anticipate blessing. We anticipate healing. We anticipate your abundance of peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.